In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about what a wife is supposed to do. And back in May of 1993, I wrote this article called What is a Wife to Do? And I want to read it to you because it does answer a question that I receive over and over and over again, not only from my newsletter readers, but from my radio listeners as well. And it may have some application to you. You may not think it has just by hearing that title, but you might find that there are some principles here which would apply in other situations as well. So here's the article, and then I'm going to read you two letters that I got in response to that article. Many women write to me about their husbands, some of them so thankful for the godly men they've been given, some of them deeply troubled by ungodly behavior. I hear stories of professing Christians, pastors, church leaders, who abuse their wives, neglect their children, spend money foolishly, etc. Recently, several have written about men who habitually indulge in sexual sin of one sort or another. Usually the wife tells me she has confronted him with God's word, requested that he desist, begged him to submit to Christian counseling, discussed the deleterious effect it has on their marriage, and asked him to understand how deeply he is hurting those who love him. He turns a deaf ear. What is a wife to do? That is the question I'm asked. If I were asked what the husbands should do, the answer is simple. Quit it. When I say simple, of course, I do not mean easy. First, a man must repent and admit his helplessness, which may be harder for a man than for us women. Then he may be willing to accept the help of others who have walked the same path. Accountability and encouragement can help him see his sin for what it is. God has given us a will and promises us strength to say no to temptation. He never allows us to be tempted beyond our ability to resist. He will give us all the help we are willing to receive. I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. That's from Psalm 119. The man whose temptation is pornography, for example, is not forced to go to the blue movie, open the pornographic mail or magazine, or visit the adult bookstore. But he, of course, is not asking me or anyone else for advice. He doesn't want it. No amount of counseling, professional or otherwise, will change his lust unless he is willing to be changed. There must be a readiness to do what God says. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. This is from 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-5. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen. That's what God has to say about it, and he has never given a command which he will not enable us to obey. It is always possible to do the will of God. In some cases, the wife has not felt that it was her duty to confront him. While my first impulse was to say that she should, further thought and prayer convinced me that she may be right. Are we not to have a gentle and quiet spirit? Is it the wife's place to confront, in view of 1 Peter 3, 1-6? Your husbands may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. You are Sarah's daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Things that are impossible with us are possible with God. He is in the business of changing men's hearts and transforming lives, often in answer to a wife's prayers. it may not be amiss for the wife to seek human help, perhaps in a spiritual mother, a woman who has walked with God for years and knows how to pray and how to keep a confidence. If professional counseling is sought, let it be truly Christian, which means Christ-centered and cross-centered. This week, I received a letter from a woman who had had an apparently immovable obstacle in her relationship with her husband. She had struggled, prayed, searched desperately for answers, went with her husband to two Christian counselors who were in the end as baffled as she was. Then one day, while working around the house, she prayed just about every minute of the day, asking God to get through to me on what I needed to do. Next day's sermon was an encouragement to step out in faith if one has a word from the Lord. She wrote, "I remembered your saying on the radio that when people tell you their problems, you often ask them what they think the Lord wants them to do. I was very surprised at the time to find that I had an answer to my problem. A simple thing, acting against my feelings. I had tried to do what I thought God wanted me to do then, but decided it was too hard and wouldn't work anyway. I determined to try again. Things didn't change overnight, but I persevered. Things changed dramatically. My husband can hardly believe the change in his wife. I can hardly believe it either." And that's the end of her letter. And my article says, "In difficulties of all kinds, I've been wonderfully helped by taking time to look at them in the light of Christ himself." And I can see that I'm not going to have time to read the whole article because I want to read these two letters that give some illustrations from other people. I want you to know that it's not just I who thinks these things, but there are people who find that the truth of God is very real and that the strength of the Lord is always there when we're willing to seek his will. "For some 10 years and more, I've struggled in my heart and sometimes visibly regarding my husband's lack of spiritual fervor. Actually, what it boils down to is my wanting to mold him into my image of the spiritual leader, missionary candidate, and or pastor waiting in the wings that I think you should be. And I don't think there's anything more humiliating or degrading for a husband than to feel like he is subject to his wife's approval. I have found that the combination of super spirituality plus superiority plus lack of love and acceptance towards my husband does little to change him, let alone draw him closer to the Lord, which is my heart's desire. Proverbs 14:1 sums it up. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears it down. I remember on one occasion complaining to the Lord about one of my children's character faults that seemed to be intensifying to a horrific magnitude. As I worried aloud to the Lord about what I should do, the Lord said to me simply and clearly, 'Have you ever thought that maybe I want to change you?' I think the same thing applies to my relationship with my husband. I need to get my eyes off of him and so avoid the plank in my own eye. Serve the Lord with gladness. Another thing I've feared is the effect that my husband's worldliness will have on my children's desire to follow Jesus. I have become convinced, although, that it is not his lack of spirituality that will affect them as much as it is their mother's reaction to it. Do they see a faith that is living and active in their mother, who does plenty of talking about the Bible, etc., causing her to be kind, affectionate, loving, and giving, understanding, forgiving, and accepting of her husband? Or do they see a fretful, worried, anxious nag who is defensive and critical and tends to be a martyr? I think the Lord and my children would prefer to see the former, even if that means being somewhat less of a saint in the legalistic sense. So I am now thanking the Lord for my husband, dwelling on his good, fine qualities, overlooking the wrongs, forgiving, 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 not withholding affection, physical and emotional, and asking the Lord every day to fill me with his Holy Spirit. God will give us joy in our marriages, but not even our husbands can fill the deepest longings we have to be totally loved, understood, and accepted. As I look to the Lord for what only he can give, I have never been disappointed, and the joy I receive spills over to my family. Feel free to share this with anyone you think it may encourage. I only ask that you refrain from letting my name be known." As I read this letter, and this is her PPS, I've written, "I realize the thing I want for my husband is what the Lord would have me to be, a genuine Christian, Ouch. And that's the end of that letter. I'll see how much of I can fit in of this other letter, too. This woman says, and she has, it's 12:30 a.m., I still have a half-full sink of dirty dishes, a newborn baby that will probably awaken at 5 o'clock for a feeding, and two boys that will be up shortly thereafter, and an angry, unforgiving, hurt husband who has exploded once again and left us all numb before going to bed. So what is a wife to do? She had also read my article from the newsletter. I just want to let you know how very much I appreciate the words of comfort. I'm one of those wives who cannot confront my husband. It just doesn't work. Peace disappears. He flies into a rage. I've been humiliated, belittled, verbally attached, cursed at to the point that the hurt in my heart seems more than I can bear. But the Lord always asks the same question. Are you willing to learn to love this man that I have given to you? What a miracle. The transformation of my heart when I'm willing to forgive, I believe it is the most blessed and holy privilege that a child of God has. Elizabeth, I really feel like you're my friend. I'm not sure it's scripturally accurate, but I want to give you lots of hugs in heaven. I gave you one when you spoke at such and such a church. I've learned to be careful only to share what goes on here with those that I can trust. So far, only you and one dear friend locally. Some women I have shared things with in the past wind up defending me, criticizing my husband, finding it impossible to pray for either of us, in spirit and in truth.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.